I am very thankful to God for another opportunity to share with you. And I thank God for my time with you here at Country Bible Church in the United States. It's been a very wonderful experience for me, meeting a lot of good people, friendly people, going to various homes, eating a lot of different food, going different places, places I've never been before. I thank you so much for allowing me to have this opportunity. I pray and hope that it will last beyond here. Today I want to share with you a message from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 10 of chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. While you are looking at Jeremiah, this statement is from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's found in the gospel. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Matthew 28, 18 to 20. This statement to me is like, what a declaration of independence is to a country. That's what this statement is to the church. Or it's like a birth certificate to a child. That's what it is to the church of Jesus Christ. And when the disciples went from Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, the Gentile world, it was this statement that they were obeying. When people like William Carey left their comfort to go to hostile India, people like David Livingstone came to Africa, when some 8 white missionaries left London in 1938 and came to an unknown place called Liberia, this is the statement that they were obeying. The purpose statement of every church, I found out, is either a repetition of this statement of Jesus Christ or a duplication of it, a replication or whatever you may want to call it. And that should be the purpose statement of every church. And I am glad it is for the Country Bible Church. The Country Bible Church exists to carry out this divine order that we call the Great Commission. Many churches attest to the fact that they exist for this purpose. But Stephen Offer has said, what we call the Great Commission has actually become, unfortunately, the Great Omission. But since fulfilling the Great Commission is the purpose for which we exist as a church, and the purpose for which we exist as Christians, I think it is necessary for us to constantly remind ourselves about our relationship to to measure our relationship constantly with this great commission. And this morning, I'm taking you back some 657 years before the commission we have in Matthew was given to Jeremiah, one of former commissions that God gave. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. And from this text, we'll be discussing the title, God's Commission and Us. God's Commission and Us. You may ask, what are we talking about? The Great Commission, and we are going to Jeremiah. Way back to Jeremiah. My answer is simple. Jeremiah was commissioned by God just as the 12 disciples and the church were commissioned by God, right? And then another reason I think we should look to Jeremiah is the disciples never had the opportunity to tell Jesus their fears, their anxiety, their doubt. They never had a chance to explain themselves. And he was taken up into heaven. But Jeremiah had time to tell God his grievances, his fear. And I think he represents, if not most, all of us in this regard. So we look to him to see what our relationship with the Great Commission is. Since I'm speaking to the Country Bible Church, you will hear your name a lot. Don't take that as an offense. Country Bible Church and Safe Christians in Country Bible Church, we can all agree that we are products of a person's commitment to the Great Commission, right? Or we are product of people's commitment to the Great Commission. Since we are products of this Great Commission, it is only fair and pleasing to God that we too obey the Great Commission in order to reproduce. This can only be possible when we surrender to the Holy Spirit to focus our mind on the enormity of the task, to fill our hearts with the predicament of those who are unsaved, God's judgment that is hanging above them. If God should show us the reality of what awaits the souls of sinners, Country Bible Church, members of Country Bible Church, and Christians everywhere will be committed to the Great Commission. Our text, Jeremiah 1, 1 to 10, draws our attention to three facts relating to God's commission and us. The first fact is that there has always been a commissioning of us, human beings. There has always been a commissioning of us. God has always commissioned people. We find that in verses 1 to 5. The second fact is that there has always been a human response to the Great Commission, to God's commission. There has always been some kind of human response. We find that in verses 6 to 7. The third fact is that there has always been provisions in God's commission for us. There has always been provisions in God's commission for us. Verses 8 to 10. for us to understand the context of the book of Jeremiah and the chapter we will be dealing with, we need to understand a little bit about the context in which this book was written. Jeremiah's prophetic ministry began and lasted for 50 years, from 627 to 586 BC. And connected with this context are three critical periods in Israel's history. The first critical period came when the kingdom divided into south and north. And the second critical period in Israel's history was when Samaria took over. Samaria fell to the Assyrians in 721 BC. And the third critical period is when Jerusalem itself fell to the Babylonians in 587 BC. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because he lamented over the sin of his generation, his people, Israel. He constantly warned them of God's pending judgment. And of course, every Christian who is aware of what is coming for sinners anytime from now can be called a weeping Christian, just as Jeremiah was called a weeping prophet. Because Jeremiah warned and cried over the sin of his contemporaries, because God's temporary judgment was near. But for us, it is God's eternal judgment. It is in this context that Jeremiah was commissioned. I want us to notice that in the first three verses of our text, Jeremiah is spoken of as a second person. That is because the person who collected and organized the Hebrew writings, as we have in the Hebrew Bible, did something like marking Jeremiah's file. So he spoke of Jeremiah as a second person, and this person is Ezra. While Bible scholars refer to these first three verses as the introduction to the book of Jeremiah, we can learn important lessons from these three verses if we combine them with verses 4 and 5. Here we see in the first place that there has always been a commissioning of us, human beings, by God. Verses 1 to 5. God's commissioning has always been from creation until now. It took different forms. It came to different people at different times, under different circumstances. But God has always been commissioning people to do certain things for him. So God's word came to Jeremiah at a time when Josiah had reigned for 13 years. And it came again to him during the 3 months reign of Jehoahaz. The word of the Lord came again to Jeremiah during the 11 years reign of Jehoiakim. It came again during the 3 months reign of Jehoiakim. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah during the 11-year reign of Zedekiah, the last king of the northern kingdom. I want you to notice something are changing and something remains constant. Kings are coming and kings are going. Kingdoms are coming and kingdoms are going. But one thing remains constant: the coming of the word of God. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The political condition of Israel was changing, and the spiritual temperature was changing too, sometimes from high to low, and sometimes from low to high, as during the days of Josiah. But the word of God remains constant. It keeps coming. So we read, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. In fact, many years before Jeremiah, the word of the Lord had come to Noah. In other words, Noah had been commissioned by God many years even before Jeremiah. In Genesis chapter 6, when sin was at its peak, God commissioned Noah. Many years before Jeremiah, God had commissioned Abraham. In Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, I want you to leave your country and your people and go. That was a commission. Before Jeremiah was commissioned, the Lord had commissioned Isaiah. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. He said, go and tell these people. Isaiah 6, 1, 8, and 9. And then the words of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So we read, the words of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Two important things relating to us and the Great Commission are revealed to this word of God, a king, to Jeremiah. First of all, in his commission, he reveals to Jeremiah the source of existence. Verses 4 and 5a. He says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you, I knew you. That is a revelation of the source of existence. Since the greatest desire of God is to make human beings come into communion with him, the greatest service that we who are human beings can do to God and for fellow men is to bring people into this communion and to point them to God, who is our maker through Jesus Christ. So in giving Jeremiah this greatest commission, God wastes no time to tell Jeremiah from the beginning his source of existence. He says, I am God, your maker. I formed you in your mother's womb. Even before you were born, I knew you. This revelation to Jeremiah about his source of existence is very essential if he must obey this commission. Because questions like, but who are you, might come to Jeremiah's mind. God did not want Jeremiah to ask that question. So he answered beforehand. Before you were born, I knew you. And I formed you in your mother's womb. There are some people we call atheists and evolutionists who do not attribute their existence to a divine source. And so they think no one, even God, has the power to tell them what to do or what not to do. They live for themselves. And they think the Bible, because it's the word of God, it has no binding on them. Because they don't attribute their souls to him. But God reveals that he is the source of Jeremiah's existence. When we identify God as our maker, when we obey him as our father, when we honor God as the one who knows our past, our present, and our future, then, and only then, can we say, "Here I am, send me." Then we can say with David, "Take all I have, you who sought my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass." Psalm 139:16. Then we can say with Isaiah, "Lord, use me, you who formed me in the womb, to be your servant." Isaiah 49:5. What is much more amazing is that this divine source of physical life is also the source of our spiritual life. Amen? All of us sitting here have spiritual life because of that divine source. God has graciously given us new life through Jesus Christ. And the purpose is to do works created in Christ Jesus for us to do, even before the creation of the earth. I'll leave that to Pastor David in Galatians. God has always commissioned us, human beings, to do things for him. But I also want you to notice that in the commission, there's not only a revelation of the source of existence, but there's also a revelation of the purpose for existence. Verse 5b, God says to Jeremiah, "Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." That is the purpose for which God made him and formed him in his mother's womb. After revealing to Jeremiah the how of his existence, God moves on to revealing the why of his existence. Jeremiah was preordained as prophet to nations. The office of the prophet was very unique. And biblical history tells us that God ordained certain prophets, sometimes for just Israel, or the northern kingdom, or the southern kingdom, or the exiled Israelites. But notice here that Jeremiah's scope of operation is universal, international. Many times we write names of ministry and we say this and this international. Jeremiah's is truly international, universal, because God has said, "I appoint you as prophet to nations, the whole world." While knowledge of the source of existence must lead to loyalty to God, knowledge of the purpose for existence must lead to service to God. Have you acknowledged your source of existence? Have you even identified that God is the one who gave you the life you have? Have you discovered God's purpose for your life as a Christian, as an individual, as a church? The reason we are saved and the reason the church exists is to become ambassadors, taking the message of reconciliation to the nations. Our text also draws attention to a second fact relative to the Great Commission and us. It is the fact that there has always been a human response to God's commission. verses 6 and 7. And the first human response we see to God's commission is, it has always been a kind of protest or hesitation when God commissions human beings. Jeremiah says in verses 6 and 7, he said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said, "Do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you." That is the human response to God's commission. Hesitation. Protest. All through scripture we see that. I've never read anywhere in scripture where somebody boasted about volunteering for God's greatest service. It has always been hesitation. Men and women who were called by God hesitated. Moses had his own protest against God's commission. God had said to him, "Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And he said, "I'm inarticulate. I'm not able to speak. My brother speaks very well. You can send him, but not me." That is in Exodus chapter 3. Gideon too had his own protest against God's commission. When God commissioned Gideon to fight and free the children of Israel from the Midianite, Gideon said, "I am poor. I'm insignificant. In fact, I'm the least in my family, and my family is the least in my clan, and my clan is the least in Israel." So Jeremiah followed in their footsteps. He said, "Ah," maybe he was holding his head, "ah, I cannot speak. I'm only a child." Like Jeremiah, we all have our own protest against God's commission. We all have our own personal hesitation and corporate hesitation as a church. For some of us, it is, "I'm young." That is for pastors to do, older men and women to do. Some of us, God tells us to do something and we say, "I'm busy. The work I have is busy. My job does not permit me to do this. I have many children. I cannot do this. I'm old. That is why I can't do this." As a church, it may be, "Oh, our church is..." That is why we are... You can fill in the blank. Humans have always hesitated when commissioned by God. But another truth we learn from this text, which comes against the fact that we have always hesitated when God commissions us, is the glorious fact that humans' response of protest and hesitation against God's commission has always been met by God's persistency. We find that in verse 7. It says, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm a child or I'm young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I want you to say.'" That sounds cruel, right? Just a little boy telling him to go anywhere he sent him, to say anything he asked him to say. This is divine persistency. The great commissioner is not just placing an unnecessary burden on young, poor Jeremiah. He's too powerful and sufficient all by himself to just dump responsibility on people. However, he persists and says, don't say I'm a child. Go and say whatever I want you to say. Now, notice that Jeremiah was not lying when he said, I'm only a child. His protest was legitimate. He was, scholars say, between 18 and 25. And the Levitical law says one can only assume priestly or prophetic responsibility only when he is 30 or above. So Jeremiah was not telling lies when he said, I'm only a child. But something very important that Jeremiah did not consider. Jeremiah did not consider that this divine commissioner, this person who is calling him, who formed him in his mother's womb and knew him, is aware of his age. Jeremiah did not consider that this divine commissioner is the one who gave the Levitical law. And yet, he sent him to say, I consider you a prophet. Go and speak. The God who commissions us is aware of our limitations, our human limitations, and our fears. He's aware that there are malaria and typhoid and sicknesses and diseases in Liberia. But he still commissions us to go. He's aware of our economic potential, our financial potential, our social difficulties, our cultural differences. Yet he sends us and he says, go into all the world. Having considered that there has always been a commissioning, having considered that there has always been a human response met by God's persistency, let's move to observe lastly the fact that there has always been provisions in God's commission for us. God has always made provisions in his commission for us. Verses 8 to 10. It says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hands and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. We can now see in these three verses, 8 to 10, that the persistency in verse 7 is justified. The wise and omnipotent, all-knowing, all-wise God could only tell Jeremiah, do not say I'm a child, but go and tell whatever I want you to tell, only because he has provided for Jeremiah. What did he provide? First, there's a promise of the presence of the commissioner in verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, declares the Lord. And this is one promise God makes over and over and again to those he commissions. The promise of his very presence. In Genesis 15:1, we hear God say to Abraham, do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, your very great shield. To Moses, he said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. Exodus 3:12. To Joshua, he said, No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua 1:5. To the Country Bible Church, God is saying, do not be afraid as you go to Liberia. I will be with you and protect you. I will watch over you and your children and your loved ones behind you. There's not only the promise of the presence of the commissioner, but there's also provision of power for the commissioned one. Verses 9 to 10. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, and to build and to plant. The hand of God in the Hebrew language is called the yad of God. And the yad of God, the hand of God, is symbolic of God's power and authority. With this hand of power and authority, God touched Jeremiah's mouth, giving him power and potential that he never had. Why? Because he has commissioned him to do a task for him. Has God touched you yet? If you really, really know that your purpose is to declare God's glory, has he touched you yet? God has touched some of us mouth to speak. If it were not for the hands of God touching us, I am not one of those that will be able to stand and speak before two persons. But he touched me. God may be touching some of you pockets and purses to give. The Great Commissioner may be touching your knees to pray. He may be touching your feet to go. The potential he gives vary, but the goal remains the same, so that we can go to all nations and declare his glory. God also put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. And Jeremiah was privileged to have had the true biblical verbatim word of God in his mouth. Because during his days, there were many prophets around who claimed to have received words from God. To distinguish himself from those false prophets, Jeremiah says over and over in his book, the words of the Lord came to me. The words of the Lord came to me. It is a privilege, church, that we have the Almighty God. We have his word. His word that is able to create, to break down, to mend, to tear, and to plant. God has graciously chosen us and given us his word and made us to transmit this word that has so much power to deliver. The Country Bible Church can thank God for receiving week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, every day of the week, in fact. You receive the true doctrine, the word of God, from faithful ministers who are serving among you. But I want you to know that with the coming of the word comes responsibility. Notice that although the true word of God came to Jeremiah, it was not for Jeremiah. it was for his contemporaries and the nations. Jeremiah was not to be the container of this word that God gave him, but a channel through which this word would go. He was not to be a terminal of the word of God, but a transit for it to flow. We thank God for biblical doctrine here at Country Bible Church in the United States. But there are villages in Africa, in Liberia, where people live and don't have the opportunity to hear this true biblical doctrine, this word of God that we hear week after week. When the word of God, which is supposed to be transmitted, when it is contained, is dangerous. And the story of Jonah tells us that containing the word of God and not giving it out is dangerous. When the Great Commission, when God's commission or God's word is contained, sometimes it takes people from your place of comfort. It may be your intellectual place of comfort. It may be your financial place of comfort. It may be your career place of comfort. And like Jonah, throw you overboard. And there's no guarantee in God's word. And so I cannot give any guarantee that God will send a whale like he did for Jonah to take you to shore. The word of God is not to be contained. It is supposed to be transmitted as he gives it to us. To conclude this message, I want to say that if Jeremiah's protest against God's commission, his hesitation because of his limitations, did not excuse him before God from warning his generation about the temporal judgment of God, what excuse can we give if we fail to warn our own generation about the final judgment, the eternal judgment of God? If we fail to fulfill God's commission, the Great Commission, I think we have no excuse. It is my prayer that our individual and corporate excuses and protests will submit to God's persistency. It is my prayer that the presence of the Great Commissioner with us, but more than that, in us, will compel us to go, therefore, into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded us. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your commission, the Great Commission. Help us to disregard our fears, our excuses, our limitations, but to count on the power and the potential you have provided for us, to depend on your presence with us, to go to all the nations. In Jesus' name. Amen.